So we're continuing in the study of the word today. Today's word is from the book of Daniel, chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. And the title of the sermon is, You Become Bold When You Fill Yourself With the Word of God. So we'll just go to the reading of the word now. Please put your phones on mute. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his god in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his god. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. So last week, we saw how Moses preached and taught the people of Israel before they stepped into the land of Canaan, how he pled with them and gave them an impassioned pleading to live in accordance with the word of God. We learned that he used his 120 years on his life on earth. And really, it could be boiled down to this in a nutshell, that the people of God should live in accordance with the word of God, where the word of God was central to their lives. That's what he was pleading with the Israelites to do in their lives. And so after that, he was called by God and he died. And so the next leader was Joshua, and the next generation went into the land of Canaan. And so they go and settle into that land. And so they go into the promised land. And so God had called them to be his whole nation of holy priests, and he wanted them to live in accordance with the promises he had made with them. He wanted them to live in accordance with the promises that he gave them. He wanted that life to start, their calling to start in the land of Canaan. But unfortunately, when they were in the land of Canaan, although they had seen the great miracles of God by crossing the River Jordan and in the battles, the next generation, Moses had taught them that if they just hold on to the promises of God, that they would succeed in life, they would gain victory. But they didn't do that. But as time passed, the people of Israel forgot the promises of God and began to live according to their own thoughts. So they didn't know the word of God, so as a natural consequence, they lived a life of disobedience. And because they had steered away from the path of God, they now experienced sufferings and heartaches. And when they experienced that, they returned to God. And every time they did that, God would have compassion and mercy on them and save them from their suffering. And when it became peaceful again, then the people of Israel forgot the promises of God again, left the path of God, started disobeying God. Then they would experience suffering again, and then they called on God. And so this repeats itself over and over. And so about 350 years goes by in this way. So they would hit the floor, then they would obey God, then they would hit rock bottom again, then obey God, then hit rock bottom again and obey God again. And after doing that for 350 years, they just decided, we don't want to live depending on God. And so they they demanded that God give them a king. So God unwillingly gives, he didn't want to give them a king, but they were so obstinate in their demands for a king that he gave in to them. So Saul is the first king of Israel. He is anointed as the first king, but he goes on the wrong path from the get-go. So the second king is King David. And I think this was a time of prosperity and restoration for Israel. David tried to obey God. He wanted to remember God's promises throughout his life. David actually becomes later on the standard at which other kings are compared to. Whether they're good or bad is compared to King David. It's not as though he lived a perfect life. He makes a lot of mistakes, but he still holds on to God despite this. And after that, Solomon, his son, becomes king. He at first was quite humble and good at ruling his nation, but eventually he changes in a strange way. And so he has many relations with the other nations. He intermarries with many women from different nations. And so then he begins to accept the worship of other gods and idols. And what happens is he becomes corrupt as a king. And so Israel then is destroyed, and God divides the nation into two parts. In North Israel, King Jeroboam has 10 tribes of Israel, and the rest in southern part of Judah is the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. But Jerusalem is in Judah, and Solomon's son, Rehoboam, I think it was his name, is the king of southern Judah. The first king of Jerusalem does an evil thing in the eyes of God. What he does is he starts off on the wrong foot from the get-go. He establishes the idol, the gold calf, in the area of Bethel and Dan, and allows idol worship from the get-go. What happens is Israel is then defeated by Assyria later on, and then Jerusalem, with its kings, Judah's kings try to obey God in their own right, and they do succeed from time to time. But later on, Babylon, who then overtakes Assyria in the Mesopotamia region, Babylon then attacks Judah, and they're destroyed in 586 BC. So ever since the sermon in the plain of Moab that Moses gives, around 800 years has passed, but they forgot the words that he gave them in the plain of Moab, and basically they're destroyed as a nation. So why were they destroyed in such a way? They'd forgotten the promises of God. They'd turned their backs on God and asked for a king, and just lived in the way that they thought was right. Today's reading, I said before, I don't know if I said this, but Babylon attacked southern Judah 3 times on 3 occasions. And so the background of our reading today is we're looking at about 800 years after the sermon on the plain of Moab. And this was around the time of the first attack and siege of Babylon on Judah. The people of God had been given a calling and to be a priest of holy, a nation of holy priests, to be a nation, to make God known to other nations, to be the salt and light of this world. But that country is destroyed. The reason for this is because they threw away, they turned their back and neglected on the word of God that should have become the center of their lives and the way in which they lived. This word should have been the standard by which they and the rest of the world lived. These Israelites had been chosen and anointed to be the first to do this, but they did not. They threw away the word of God. They neglected the word of God. They had the law of God with them, but they had no interest in it. Like us, we have a Bible physically, but we don't have any interest in the word of God. So what they did was, instead they lived in accordance with the values of this world, in accordance with the values that they had learned from their education, and they started to live according to the ways of the world, which God had warned them against. This nation had been chosen by God, and Moses had pled with them, not on one but two occasions. They had chosen by God. God had saved them and guided them so that they would be a guide and a light to the rest of the world. But they instead were destroyed as a nation. After they had gone into the land of Canaan, it was only about 30 years in which it took for them to just begin to neglect the word of God. During the time of Joshua, they did obey the word of God during his lifetime. So in Judges chapter 2 verse 7, the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua was 110 when he died. And when all those elders died, the people that were born after that, they forgot the word of God. Continuing on with Judges chapter 2 verse 8, Joshua son of Nun, the servant of God, died at the age of 110. And they buried him in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gadgash. After the whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for the Israel. When the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. God sent continuously, didn't give up on them, and sent judges and prophets to them. And he continued to say, return to me, return to me. And God continued in that work for 800 years approximately. He wanted to raise them up, but they didn't listen to the word of God. If we forget that Jesus is our Lord and that he died for us, and these things become just of unimportance to us, then basically the gospel becomes uncomfortable for us to hear. Then does it mean that because Israel was destroyed that God's will failed? Did God fail? If you look at the way God guided them and led them for 800 years, the answer to that is no. God sent continually that one person. He sent many people. God works through people who hear his word and act in accordance. He works through people like Abraham, like David. That the nations were led by people of faith. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Moses, David. People who believe in the word of God and people who can hang their lives on the word of God. And God does his will through those people. He does that through the remnant. God's will and God's plan did not fail. God's will is fulfilled by the one people, by the remnant, the any one person who goes out in faith in accordance with the word of God. I ask that you be people of faith. Last week we talked about how when they go into the land of Canaan, in the same way we are in the land of Canaan when we are in our workplaces, in our families. Today, So when we go into the land of Canaan, basically everything that surrounds us, the culture, the politics, the traditions, the society, it's all rooted in humanism. Today we commemorate, we remember the resurrection of Christ. And so by commemorating Christ's resurrection, what we're saying is that we are dead to the things of this world, but that we live for Christ. But when we go into this world, we see that this world is rooted and is based in humanism. So what we need to do is we need to live a God-centered life and take that God-centered life and live in accordance to the values of God in our schools, in our families, in our workplaces, and in the communities in which we live. Or we can't just go back and forth from church and just give offerings and that's it, and just not change your lives at all. So Easter, there is more meaning to Easter than just remembering that we've been given new life in Christ or saved in Christ. We are people of the new covenant. We are not people who need to live in accordance with the things of this world, but we are people who need to live in accordance with the things of God and the Word of God. So when we become a new creation, we say we will not live in accordance with this world or the things of this world. Even if everybody else lives in a different way, we are saying we are going to live in a different way. And that's what Easter is a time for us to remember. But many times, people just enjoy Easter as a holiday, drink and get drunk. This world is full of humanism. But we need to be people who are filled with the Word of God. We need to be people who are God-centered, to the people who are around us who are self-centered and who live in accordance with the world and the humanism that is at the base of it all. Sometimes when we go into this world, we're invisible. We're like yeast, however. But just like yeast is invisible, but it does a great work in the dough, that is the role of you and I. We are mixed with the world and we are the yeast. We can see through Daniel how we should live. So the historical background to today is 800 years after the Sermon of Moses. And Daniel is like a drop in the ocean, in the ocean filled with people living in accordance with the ways of this world. Daniel's life was dependent on the king. But we can see how he lived and in the way in which we lived. We have been given a calling in this world. We have been called into the land of Canaan. But how should we live? We're going to look at how God worked through a man of faith such as Daniel. So it may seem as though Babylon captured Daniel, but in fact God had sent Daniel there. And it was his way of preaching, having the gospel spread in this world. So at the time, Babylon had almost completely destroyed the country of Israel, of Judah. It had taken away its identity, and basically the people had lost all hope. And Babylon, what they did as a nation is that they chose talented people, intelligent young men, and chose the few to take them back to Babylon. And the people who had captured inside of them, they still have God and the culture of God inside of them. They had at the core of their foundation, they had as a basis of who they were, God's law and the willingness and the heart to do this. And so what we're going to look at is what Satan does to try and destroy the people who have the calling of God and who've been called by God in their lives and who live in a world filled with humanism, who live in a world that is opposed to God. Look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 4. What Satan does is that he just makes people, he just kind of leaves them to soak in that culture of that says live according to your instincts, to live according to the principles of humanism and materialism, And he just lets people sort of just soak in that and to be influenced by just being in that culture in and of itself. That's point one. The names of the four men in the scripture of our reading today, their names were to glorify God and to remember God. But when they were captured, their names were changed to be the names of demons and devils and idols. So what Satan worked to completely crush their identities, to completely crush their identities in God. A lot of people who are older than us just say, as a matter of habit, oh, these are the end days when they see what's happening in this world. But when I really see what's going on in today's world and generation, I really do think that it is the end days. Our children are just naturally soaked in this today's culture. They naturally just take it all in. And that's a frightening thing. And so the people, when they're in the land of Canada, only took them 30 years for them to forget God. Our culture has been completely changed by the creation of Apple iPhones. It's only been 10 years since the creation of the Apple iPhone, but this world has been completely changed as a result. We need to declare war on this, because if we don't use our smartphones in the right way, we're just staring to the smartphones as a direct channel to hell. But if we use it in the right way, then we can use it for God's purposes. And so the things of this world, the following of pleasure, it becomes part of our psyche. It becomes part of what we expect within the church as well. If we don't know why we're here, we don't know why we're born, what is our purpose of living, then we just come to church and we make God who we want God to be. And so we don't meet God through the revelations in the Word of God. We just make God up in our own minds who we want Him to be, and then we just live according to that. Is the God that you know the true God? You need to think about that. So we just need to be alert. We need to be awake. We need to make sure and stay alert that we are in the Word of God and that our children are in the Word of God. And we need to declare war on the things that are not of God, affecting our families and our children. So last week I talked about writing the Word of God in your heart. And so I said, by writing it on your heart, you need to act in accordance with the Word of God. Everyone in the world will follow Satan's ways, but we need to stand against that. We are mixed with the world, but we are not one with the world. And we need to change the world. Daniel was captured when he was very young. He could have been a totally different person, but what happens is Daniel becomes such a person that he influences the king of Babylon, that he influences the politics and the world affairs of Babylon, the political affairs of Babylon. This Daniel, who had the Word of God written in his heart, this Daniel who did the Word of God, who acted in accordance with the Word of God, Babylon did what Daniel wanted. In chapter 4, verse 9, it says, I said, Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream, interpret it for me. And in Daniel chapter 5, verse 12, this man Daniel, whom the king called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means. In chapter 6, verse 3, now Daniel was so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. King Darius planned to make Daniel powerful over his kingdom. So this is somewhat, and in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belshazzar. His message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. So even when the kingdom had changed from Babylon to Persia, Daniel still had influence. So this is how God works, through someone who has the word of God written on their hearts. So even against the world or the powers to be, like the political powers, such as Babylon and Persia, a person of God who has the word of God written on their heart can have this kind of influence. It doesn't matter how strong this world is or it seems. It doesn't matter how strong a power is. But Israel could overcome because of people of faith, people who had the word of God written on their hearts, such as Daniel. It doesn't matter how young you are. Those kinds of people saved nations. We can have stronger faith the younger we are. That ability is present in us. So if we want to live in this world as people of God, we need to know the word of God, not just with our heads, but with our hearts and within us. So I'll just repeat that. If we want to live in this world as people of God, the first thing we need to do is we need to know the word of God, not just with our heads, but in our hearts. God restores nations and people and families through a person of faith. When people obey the word of God and hold on to the word of God, God works through those people. If the word of God is not destroyed in you, then you will not be destroyed. Whatever the circumstances, if the word of God is not destroyed in you, if it's hold steadfast in you, then your future will not fall apart. Then your future will be secure. So even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if you hold on to the word of God, then you can make the same confession as King David. You can say that God's staff guides you and restores you. If you are in the church but you neglect to do this, then you choose a life of hardships. You're full of complaints. You know where the way of life is, but you choose not to do it. We need to have dreams. We need to resolve to do things by the word of God. When we hear the word of God, we should not be like a window that has rainfall on it and just fall off it. We should be like a dry desert ground that just soaks up the word of God, that just soaks it up completely. And as a result, we should have life flowing out of us. Secondly, if we want to live in this world as people of God, in this world, we need to... So once we learn the word of God, once we have internalized the word of God, what we should do is we should... then go about taking the steps to live in accordance with the word of God. We should take the steps, as challenging as they may be, to live in accordance with the word of God. In chapter 1, verse 8, Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." For the disciples, before they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were so timid. But after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out into this world. They were filled with boldness, and they acted in accordance with the word of God without fear. It doesn't happen when we just stay still and do nothing. But when we go out and we actually step out into the word of God, then God pours his grace in our lives. When we're not pulled this way and that way by the tides of this world, but we actually step out in the word of God, that's when God pours out his grace, where we see the work of God in our lives. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 9, "Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel." You and I can experience this kind of change in our lives as well. When you step out, when you actually lift your foot and step out in the word of God, that's when you'll see the work of God. You'll see the power of God. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. When you have faith in the word of God and when you step out in obedience in the word of God, that's what it is important. God works even amongst the young, the youth, In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So what's important is whether you step out in the word of God or not. That's the critical thing. That's the critical difference. It's not through your mouth that you have faith, but with your bodies, when you act in obedience. God doesn't just move our mouths. He makes us obey with our bodies so that, and when we do this, that's when he pours his power. Basically, we don't do anything with our bodies. We just talk about our faith. We don't experience God because we're all talk and no action. If you don't fight in our 20s and 30s, if our youngsters don't fight the materialism and the sin that's in this world, we will fall. We need to make a kind of synergy where we together, we join arms to do our best to obey God, to step out in the word of God. That's what we should be doing in the church. Daniel resolved and made a decision not to eat the king's food. Daniel chapter 1 verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. This is the kind of thing that we should be doing in faith as well. That's what in your 20s, in your 30s, this kind of thing needs to happen in your lives as well. So what happens is in Daniel chapter 12, chapter 1, verse 12, Daniel said, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the raw food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." Then we see in chapter 15, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the raw food. The important thing in our lives is whether we are doing the same kind of thing, whether we are stepping out in actions, in obedience to the word of God, just as Daniel did. This is the kind of thing we should be doing. This is the kind of way we should be living our lives as well. Through Easter, I want you to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then make sure that you have this kind of going from word to action through obedience and faith in your lives as well. And thirdly, we need to be people who have the word of God in us, but we also need to be people who are skilled, who are knowledgeable, and who are acknowledged for the way we do things. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 17, to these four young men God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. In Daniel chapter 1 verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. We can't be just people who know the word of God, but we need to be, we need to do our best, our very best, to obtain skills. We need to do our very best in our areas as we live in this world. We need to have the word of God inside of us. We need to be strong in our minds with the word of God. And so in our lives, in your workplaces, in your schools, in whatever area, you need to do your very best. You should not be people who looks for handouts, but you should be someone who is able to hand out to other people. You should not be someone that has the handout, who's looking for handouts from this world. You should be someone who is able to give handouts to others, to be able to. And you should ask God for God's power when you're doing that. We should ask for God's power so that you will be able to be a person that can help others, be a handout, and be a helping hand to others, and not be someone who asks for a handout in this world. When David was a shepherd, he did his very best as a shepherd. He fought with bears and lions. He was faithful in his work as a shepherd, and so that's what brought him to a place where he was able to stand up against Goliath as well. Daniel, for 20 years, from the age of 20, he was trained in many ways. And he went through a lot of hardships in his trainings as well. Saul wasn't ready to be king, but David was ready to be king. We need to pray for good opportunities to come our way. But we need to be people who do not need to be ashamed in our workplaces. When we have the And so by the grace that we've been given, use that as energy to do, to be hard workers, to be faithful workers, to be skilled workers. Don't just be tigers inside the church, but be acknowledged in this world as well. Be acknowledged for your work and for your skill in this world as well, so that this world, be skilled, be prepared. Be a faithful and be an acknowledged worker. And prepare in your daily lives to do this, so that you're spiritually strong and you're strong in other ways as well. And so even if everything else falls around you, even if your country is taken from you, your country crumbles around you, be like Daniel, that you can stand. I ask that you make this decision to do this in your lives. So as we live in this world full of humanism, based in humanism, if we want to live as people who are like worthy to be called people of God, number one, we need to know the word of God, not just with our heads, but in our hearts. It needs to be written down in our hearts, and we need to act in accordance with that. We need to, secondly, internalize the word of God, but then we need to step out in action and challenge ourselves to step out in action in accordance with the word of God. And thirdly, we should internalize the word of God, but that should then become the energy. The grace of God should become the energy for us to be skilled and hardworking people in whatever a situation we are in life. Let us pray. I want us to make a decision.